TFYLP is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Now you can save on orders of $150 or more with free shipping. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular conventions year-round or contact them via Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars, they came here to Earth. Caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Who's up, Jay here? Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP, episode number 153, recorded May 22nd, 2015. I am your host, Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Megamus.
Hello.
We got Marani Prime, a.k.a. Jim Black.
Hello.
Tobias Granville, a.k.a. Dr. Archiville.
Yeah, hello, everyone.
Headmaster Dawn.
Everybody.
And joining us tonight, special guest, The Maz, author of TF Source articles and lots of great information I see you post from time to time on message boards. Welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Tonight we're going to be talking about a very depressing topic. We're going to be talking about what happens to our toys when we die. And this is a Transformers specific podcast. So we'll be talking specifically about Transformers, but honestly, if you really think about it, everything that we're talking about will be, applicable to virtually anything that you collect. So the reason that we're talking about it is that it's an often overlooked subject and something that fans really need to think about, because many of us have massive, massive collections. And as sad as it, or as hard as it is to think, I mean, we're not going to be around forever, and accidents do happen. You could pass away in an accident. You know, we can die untimely. We don't plan to die. Most of us don't plan to die. So, you know, and what happens to our collection? You know, I mean, like I said, many of us have huge collections, and it's up to friends, loved ones, family, to deal with those collections. And a lot of our family members and friends don't know, don't care about these pieces of plastic to them. You know, what's little nuggets of gold to us, is garbage and junk to them. So it's, you can't expect them to know exactly what to do with it. I know we're doing a little bit earlier of a start time tonight. We're starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. We normally go at 9, but because Maz is in Europe, it's a little bit harder for him to stay up so late. So we started a little bit earlier to accommodate him. And I do thank you for coming to the show tonight. If you are listening, please follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. And if you're listening to us via download, via YouTube, however, use hashtag TFYLP. Let us know you're listening. We're also on Facebook. We have a Facebook page and group, so check us out. And as always, on TFTalk.net. Also, we are brought to you by our sponsors, CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com, as well as Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with Mega Toy Fan and catch Mega Toy Fan at the biggest conventions year-round. So without further ado, let's get right into the meat of the topic tonight, because we have a lot to talk about and a lot to cover. And let's talk to you, Maz. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do for TF Source and the articles and everything, and then how the subject of a recent article that you did on this topic came about.
Well, what I do for TF Source is I write weekly articles. Some of the first articles I ever wrote online were published on TF Source many years ago in a very old format. And then I left the community for about 2-3 years. And when I came back, TF Source said, well, how would you feel about writing again? And it wasn't something I thought about. I was just coming back to buy a few toys and see what the land was like after all that time. That was in 2011. So it's been weekly articles every week since then. The only one I missed was for the birth of my daughter, and that was in 2012. Other than that, it's been every week with interviews. I do my own blog now as well. I honestly believe if I wasn't doing the writing, there wouldn't be enough to keep me here. It's because I get to photograph things, I get to write about things, I get to meet people. We've got a bi-weekly UK meetup now that we have in a pub with a bunch of local collectors I never knew before, which has been an absolute highlight. So it's the community, it's the writing, that's what I like the most about the hobby. This topic came up because I didn't have a third-party toy to review that week. So I was on the bus home from work thinking, what on earth am I going to write about this week? And because normally I come home, you know, I've got my responsibilities as a parent and a husband, and that week my daughter and my wife were away. And I thought, I've got some time to really think about what I want to write about. And on my way home from work, I would message the usual suspects, people I know I can get a response from in about 5 to 10 minutes or 2 hours max, and ask them what their plans were when they died with their collections.
Yeah, it's something that a lot of collectors, like I said earlier, a lot of collectors don't even consider. You know, I fully admit, back whenever my collection was at its largest, around 2,500 figures, I never had any. I was in my early to mid 20s. I had no thought of what would happen if I had passed away at that time. My wife at the time, she had no idea how much a lot of them were worth. You know, she was just kind of a mild fan, and you know, just went with me to conventions and, hey, I'm happy to be here. So it's not like she would know what to do with them. I didn't have any connections to anyone else outside in the fandom really at the time, except for Insane Galvatron. And he and I were still young as fans together at that time. So I really didn't have anyone that I could have expected to deal with the collection had I passed away. And it never even dawned on me. And honestly, it didn't even dawn on me up until a couple years ago when, you know, I had an accident myself. And I had a long time to really think about things. And I really, really took a step back and looked at my hobby and made some huge choices. You know, do I ever want to have a large collection like that again? No. And there's different reasons for that. But one of the reasons is, who would deal with this crap once I passed away? And
that's actually been one of the most surprising things, is how many people were really happy to say, hey, it's someone else's problem. And then there was a select few people, including myself, which thought, the absolute last thing I want to do, if people are dealing with grief, is then have to deal with this and see it on a daily basis, and make them have to go through this effort. You know, the idea is that you make it as possible.
Knowing that that at one time that your collection was very important to you, so and most people, whenever they deal with something that was very near and dear to something, someone that they loved, it's oftentimes very difficult to, you know, sell it, you know, or even get rid of it, for that matter. You know, I mean, and it's not just toys, it's anything. You know, I mean, it could be, I've known people, that, like they had a son that, that passed away in the military, and he had a car that he loved, and, you know, they still have it. They just basically put it in a barn out on a farm and put a cover over it, and they won't sell it. And I know, I had a coworker that had a friend that exact thing happened, and he had a DeLorean. His DeLorean was absolutely precious to him. I mean, he was, from what I gathered, he was a nerd like all of us, you know, and he loved Back to the Future, and he had to have his DeLorean, and he had it, you know, and he babied that thing whenever he was alive, but he passed away in the military from what I gathered, and his family couldn't bring themselves to part with it. So they put it in a barn, and it rots there now. You know, it's sad, but it's something that I'm sure they never considered, and I'm sure it's something that he never really considered. But we do need to think about it.
Some people have it already in their will. I was informed by one of my friends a couple of years ago, oh, by the way, you're in my will. You're dealing with this when I'm dead. that was just what I was told.
Really?
And he's not the first or the last person who said that to me either. So some people actually really have planned this all out. Should they be in possession of their toys when they pass?
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll kind of briefly say what I think I would do, and then we'll kind of go around the room here and talk about our thoughts of what we would do with our own personal collections, and then we'll move on and talk about, in a general sense, some ideas and tips that we should give people about planning for this. I mean, this is something everyone really, really should plan for. But tell us a little bit more about your interviews in the article. If people haven't had a chance to check it out, I urge people to go and read it, as well as many of the other articles that are very important or very interesting. Tell us a little bit more about your interviews and things that you discovered.
I was most surprised about, well, first of all, the first place I put the question out there was on the UK discussion thread on TFW, because I knew that thread is always lively. It's at a time of day where I knew most people were on, like myself. So I got a lot of responses from there. Facebook chats, which a few friends are involved with, you know, friends from, again, all over the UK, or WhatsApp online, where there's a couple of Asian collectors I speak to. And I just put the messages out all over the place, and I asked people I knew would get back to me. So most of the responses, I kind of knew what they were going to be like, because I knew the people who were going to give them. But from the UK group, I got a number of very surprising responses, and one of the surprises was how many people wanted to be buried with a figure. Buried with one or two figures, actually wanted to go into the ground or be cremated with a transformer, and that one of them had that transformer when they were married in his pocket. So this was all, I've never imagined that my collection would outlast me. My opinion has always been that I'm pretty sure when the time comes, I will liquidate my collection and move on from it. So it was bizarre for me to see all the responses, people saying they wanted it, you know, melted down and turned into a coffin that they were going to be buried in, or just that they would leave it to someone else to deal with. But the responses were varied from disorganized, no idea, to I have a plan and my plan is currently on course and you're involved. There's all kinds of things.
Yeah, and that's something that we as a podcast and a means of dispersing information and things out to our fellow collectors. It's something that we really want to drive home and urge people to do, is to have a plan, because especially those of us who have enormous collections. I mean, it's a matter of consideration for the ones that we love in our life. And I don't mean the little pieces of plastic. I mean our husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, best friends. It doesn't matter who it is, but we do need to have a plan. Me personally, I've told my girlfriend that I would like for anyone that is close to me that really wanted something to remember me by, because I am known among family, friends, everyone as a Transformers fan. And knowing that Transformers are near and dear to my heart, to have something from my collection, knowing that that was important to me at one point in time in my life, or a good portion of my life, I would have them look through my collection and pick a figure that you think would represent me to you. And now my online username everywhere is pretty much Weird Wolf. And my Generation 1 Weird Wolf, the one that is closest to me, I would ask them to keep it, because that, to me, that is me in the fandom. That represents me in the fandom. But everyone else, pick something. Then the remainder of it, I told her a couple names of some people that she could contact that could assist her, or just buy it outright, because my collection is small enough that, it could be bought outright and pieced out rather quickly, I believe. And I think that's key. We'll talk a little bit about that later, is getting it down to a manageable size. But I gave her and have introduced her to at least one person that could deal with it. And I've talked with him briefly about it, and I said, if I was to pass away, you're the person that I would like to deal with this, because you know what you're doing. You have a means of to get rid of it. And then all the proceeds from that, to go towards like my funeral, any expenses that might be incurred that, aren't covered by like insurance or anything like that. And then the remainder of it, if there's any, disperse it to my immediate family. And to me, that's my plan. And I think that's something that, that everyone should have. Brett, let's hear you. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first things first is I'm going to live forever, so I don't have to worry about that.
You're no Superman.
Yeah, I'm not. That's beside the point. With most people who are married, that's who's going to fall upon is their spouse. And she knows. I mean, she knows how much I have, which is a lot. And she has no idea. She has no idea from Shogun Warrior, from a Star Saber, which my hand's not going the right way, as a Star Saber. So I mean, she has no idea. So each of them that I have boxed in the box, and we were going to hit on this in the tips, but in all of mine, I have index cards. If you could see right here, this is one that I pulled. Basically says what it is, when it was released, what it is, the significance, like, missile still on the tree, unused sticker sheet, and condition. And down at the bottom, if you'll notice, I have, like, complete. And maybe your collection is missing a piece, so you would put missing a piece. But once you get that piece, you just, of course, clip that piece off, snip that off, put complete, and it's done. The point being is it gives, if they are going to sell it, gives them a guideline. It gives them a basis to know what they have in their possession. And only the true fans are going to know, hey, true, I've got.
There's that term, true fan.
Well, it's true because if I throw this up here, And I say, this is what I have. And everyone says, oh, okay. And then I pull out Pepsi Prime. Well, Pepsi Prime's worth a lot more than just an 84 Prime. So you better make sure that you write Pepsi Prime on it, you know? So, you know, simple stuff like that. There's a lot of things, variations, stuff like that, that we know is worth more. But our spouses are those that are going to be left, for lack of a better term, left dealing with this, is not going to know. So little index cards like this, and, you know, as well as I did, these things are cheap. It's just time consuming. Fill it out for everything you have. Slip it where they're going to know that goes with this. And it will save a lot. The other thing is, and I haven't done this, it was something that I've been working on, is to catalog your whole collection. And there are various websites and this, that, and the other that will actually catalog it and tell you how much it's worth, this, that, and the other. But another thing that I was thinking of, and this is kind of a little off topic, but if you're thinking along these lines, you might want to get insurance for your collection. And like my insurance, when I called them on it, they said, well, in order for us to figure out how much your collection's worth, you have to get it appraised. And I said, okay, who do you use for that? Well, we really don't have anyone. Well, how would you categorize someone as being a reliable source to make that determination? And they said, well, they need to have a website, and they would need to be accredited, you know, or some sort of accreditation. And I said, well, I have a website. I'm known in the fandom. Could I do that for my own collection? They actually said, yes, I could. And I did. So my collection is based upon my appraisal, and that's what my insurance is based on. So look at your insurance, call them. It's not going to hurt to call them. And you'd be amazed at a fairly big collection will cost you peanuts. It won't cost you anything. Really, it won't. To add it to your homeowner's policy. So that's just a little extra thing. And that's not so much if you die, but, you know, I'm talking about fire or loss or whatever. It's still along the same lines of what we're talking about, protecting your investment, helping those that, you know, after you pass away. So that was just a little side note. But I really believe that the little index cards will help. I think a lot of people, unless you're fortunate enough to be married to another trans fan, are going to have problems. They're going to have problems knowing the difference between, like I said, just a regular Pepsi Prime or a Prime. Let's not even get into the more difficult stuff. Just something as simple as that the monetary value is definitely different. I mean, Maz, what do you think about that? I mean, as far as, like, you know, leaving something to someone that has no idea, and you know as well as I do that the value of one thing compared to the other just because of a variation is greatly, correct?
Absolutely. I think the cards are a great idea. Very time consuming, but ultimately completely worth it.
Exactly.
That's a good idea that nobody mentioned. Yeah. People do catalog their collections, big spreadsheets, but again, without any sort of identifier, how is anyone ever going to know what they are?
Right.
Without a photo log or something, and that's going to take even longer. With the insurance, I know someone who wanted to get them insured in Europe, and the insurance company had said, well, you need to provide receipts for everything that you've paid for. So he had kept masses of PayPal receipts, and obviously sometimes what you pay via PayPal is not what the item is worth.
Absolutely, especially if you're lucky.
So I'm quite amazed that they allowed you to appraise your own collection. I'm just thinking if I tried that trick here, they would.
That just shows you what us crazy Americans can get away with.
You know? I don't think that'd wash over here. I really don't.
Hey, all I can tell you is the truth, and that's what happened.
Well, I envy you then. I think it's a great position to be in. If anyone else can do that, I would tomorrow.
It's amazing because, I mean, all you have to do is show that you actually know what you're talking about. And I'm not just saying, I said, hey, you know, here I'm patting myself on the back. I can do this. I did have to go through some steps. You know, I had to show them the website, show them this, and did some appraising, this, that, and the other, and they understood, hey, this guy actually knows what he's talking about.
So they basically accredited you. So you,
correct,
they took you through an accreditation process.
Yes. It's okay. Not nearly as strengthful as you would think it would be. It's really not. It's not that big a deal. It's just a matter of picking up the phone and basically telling them you're going to give them money, which all you're doing is insurance company. You're just giving them money to bet on yourself. Everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. And they're more than happy to take your money. You know that.
Yeah.
Who isn't?
But, you know, I mean, that's basically, I mean, I know it's not a real long-winded way, but my wife knows. Although, like I said before, I'm going to live forever, so this is not going to be a big deal. But in that instance, yeah, I have, and I'm not even going to say that I'm prepared. I mean, I've done little index cards to about half, you know. I'm getting a little on the lazy side. I really need to pick it up, but yeah, it's a good idea, but even myself, I'm procrastinating. I'm not doing it like I should. So it's going to take some time, but it's definitely worth it.
Well, yeah, that begs the question. You know, I mean, you've got the index cards and everything. You fully expect her to just go and go through your collection and say, okay, these are worth this much, or she has to go and do the legwork, find out how much they're worth based on your index cards, and then sell it out, or would you want her to just sell it as a lot?
No. That's the other thing. I'm also lucky in that I have many sons that also know how to wheel and deal, and they know what eBay is, and they know what the true market value of stuff is, and they know how to look things up on eBay. Anyone that has a smartphone nowadays can find the value of just about anything. All right. Why cheat yourself if you've got the time to piece out a collection? And that's what that would be my advice to her. Look upon our sons, divvy it up, find the true value of it, and sell it off. I'm not the guy, and it's funny because, yes, we buy collections. I do. But I'm also going to be the guy that says, if you want more money, sell it yourself and sell it by piece. I'll be the first person to tell you that. And I'll tell you right now that when I die, my collection's not going to go in one big lump sum to a, I'm not going to say, but to one store. It's going to be sold off piece by piece and made the most money that she can get, because I want her to have as much money as she can get.
But it's a time-consuming process. As we all know, trying to sell just a few things on eBay over a period of a month, you know, it can be soul-destroying, and we're invested in it. I imagine it would be very, very much harder for those who survive us to deal with everything that comes with eBay.
Sure.
I mean, would you consider – they might take it to a show. That might be a great idea, to take it to a convention and have it all –
Absolutely. And also, she could turn around and sell it to one big store, but let's face it, I'm dead. I'm not going to yell at her. I mean, she's going to do what she wants. Mm. But at least I've given her the thought and given her the necessary documentation so that she has an educated guess, but a closer educated guess to what it's worth and what she should expect to get out of it. And then her acceptable losses, that's her decision.
You know, basing on what Maz just said, seeing as how your store is Mega Toy Fan, I'm not exactly clear, are you and Jamie, like, he does like Joe's and you do Transformers, or how does that work out?
We're just business partners. I mean, we split everything 50-50. He just happens to know more about the Joes, and I know more about the Transformers, so it actually works out.
Works out.
Yeah.
Well, I was starting to say, I mean, he could continue the Mega Toy Fan store after you're gone, and she could just go to the shows with him or something, and he could set up and sell them there.
Right. Or he could pass away, and I could inherit it all, and I mean, if you want
look,
I mean,
look at this.
Sure. I mean, I understand.
You know the ways.
I'll say it again. I'm going to live forever. So we. This is a movie.
He's got the chair in the office for it, doesn't he? He looks like he's running his empire from that chair already.
You got to talk the talk and look the part. So there you go.
Well, you got the reclination angle on your chair for it right there.
He could sell his collection for $1 million.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's okay. It's all right. No, but to get back to our topic, yes, I think that preparation is definitely a key. You need to definitely have everything in order in case that would happen. I mean, I came up with index cards. I mean, anybody can come up with that. I'm sure there's better ways, but to me, taking the little card that has everything written in it, you slip it in a box that has the actual toy, so that if someone picks it up and says, "What's this?" they pull out the index card. There it is. I don't have to match A to B. It's all right there. And that's just how I do mine.
All right.
That's already more than most people I spoke to have done, to be honest.
Actually, well, like I said, I'm only halfway through, so I'm partially procrastinating here.
Tobias, let's hear your thoughts on it and your plans, if any, for your collection.
Yeah, well, I don't got that massive collection as Brett got, but I think it was a good idea with index cards for the toys. I got some documentation of my collection, of course, and I'm fortunate enough to have a girlfriend that works at an insurance company, so we actually got my collection insured. They had a special, we had to pay some extra money for it, but it was no problem at all, actually. I could appraise it myself, or value it. That's a good thing. But I think I will, when we talked about the documentation, there is a problem regarding the references, because the name doesn't say anything about the toy when it comes to my girlfriend or my dad or my mom or my sister. So I think that was a good point. So perhaps I will update it with some photos as well so they can match them. And perhaps have an ongoing valuation on them in that documentation. I don't know. So that you update it half a year or something like that.
Right. I don't mean to interrupt, but I actually thought about that. I really did, and I actually thought about even on the index cards putting what I thought they were worth. And I thought, no, because, the value of things fluctuates so much that I don't think you should do that. No matter how you look at it, whoever is left with this is going to have to do some research. They're going to have to do some research. Unless they just want to give it away, they're going to have to do some research to find out what item A is worth at this particular time. And in my opinion, the only way to help them is to put as much information about item A that would help them with that. But I did want to ask you this. You said you did get it insured. I only noticed a very, very minor addition to my cost for my insurance. Did you notice a big increase, or was it minor?
No, it was a minor increase, so it was not that bad at all, actually. And it was my girlfriend that pointed it out to me, because she works with insurances. So she said, "Have you ever got that insured?" No, I haven't crossed my mind at all, strangely enough. But so that was a good thing.
The funny thing is, it was actually my friend who's in insurance that said the same thing to me. So these insurance guys must think alike, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
it's the insurance. It's the salesman coming out in them.
I guess, but you know what? The funny thing is at some point you go, that actually makes sense, and it's really it's not that much. It's not that big of a difference.
Absolutely. Well, and I also talk. My girlfriend is aware of. This is a lot of money, of course, because she works at the insurances. And my family, of course, is also in on this. I told them about this, and they know about it. Collected most of my life. So, and then I got some friends as well. So I haven't talked to them, but when Werewolf talked about this, I thought about, yeah, I have to have a talk with my friends. I know someone that that I could give this task if.
Well, I mean, it's got to be someone that you trust and someone that you know really well, especially in this fandom. You know, I mean,
absolutely, absolutely.
You got to have the and the trust level is there. I mean, you know that this person knows knows what they're talking about. B will not try to do something that will not get the collection as much as it's worth. To the funds to the person or persons that you have designated to receive the funds,
i.e., someone that's not going to screw you over.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's what you meant.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, Brett.
Yo.
One thing I was thinking as you were talking about the index cards and everything. Do you think maybe it might be another piece of information you might want to put on there is what you paid for it? So that way at least they know so that way if information is not there, there aren't current sales or they're getting offers, they at least know what you have invested in it, so that way they have, like you said, Dern, a baseline to go with.
Well, let me preface this by saying that while this was my idea to do the index cards, which why I'll go back and say that it didn't take a great genius to figure this out. I did speak to certain people, one of which you named was Jamie. And I asked him that. I did ask him that. And I said, well, should I put what I paid for it? And he said, well, one, does it really matter in the market? And two, do you really want her upset if what you paid for went down in value? And I thought, probably not. But I went right back with my knockoff stuff because I have a lot of knockoff stuff that is worth a lot of money that has very few sales and very rarely comes up. And he said, well, on stuff like that, you might want to, or you put down specifically what it is to such a degree that if it doesn't show up, she holds on to it until it does and then bases it off that. I mean, that kind of answers your question. It kind of doesn't, because you are talking about a gray area especially with some of the stuff I collect. I don't just collect the mainstream stuff. I collect the goofy stuff that's kind of hard to categorize.
Right.
And I mean, I've got one, and it's of course a transistor 4-star, and literally the front side of this is filled up, and so is the back of detail, just because they don't come up, they just don't. And so to kind of cop out on your answer, yes and no. I do.
Could you possibly give contact details for someone who could be contacted at a day's notice, and just for like a query, what would you value this at in today's market?
Yes, but let's be honest, in 20 years from now, if I do pass away, I don't know who's doing this. Mm-hmm. The only thing she knows is that my best friend Jamie is the person to talk to. And then it's kind of, you know, between her and him is what it's going to come down to. But the legwork's going to be, you know, my boys doing the research and everything. But in the end, let's be honest, if you really want to get full value for your collection that you know is for sure you're going to get, you sell it yourself before you die. And we're not going to do that. So you're kind of you're dealing with what you got left.
It goes back to what we said.
That's precisely my plan, is to sell it before I die.
There you go. And I've actually thought about that, and a lot of people have. I mean, I don't have the biggest collection. I mean, I've got a decent collection, and I've thought about it. I have. And the thing that goes through my head, and I know I don't know if you were going to touch on this or not, but do I want to leave this for someone else? Do I want to leave this massive responsibility to someone else? And yeah, I've toyed with that too. You know, even though I jokingly say I'm going to live forever, but.
Well, that kind of ties in with a subject that I believe you covered a few weeks ago, Brett. You know, when is enough enough? You know, I mean, at what point do you say, you know, I'm done with this hobby and everything? It's not that you've stopped being a fan or what have you. It's like I'm done spending money on these things. It's time to sell them off, move on.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I actually personally, I mean, this past week I turned 40, you know, and, you know, while that's just a number and many of us are Generation One fans from the beginning, we're turning 40 or have turned 40 recently or getting ready to. But I sat down the other day and I thought, I'm 40 years old. I have been collecting these things for over half of my life. And I'm like, do I really? Yeah, I know I'm an old geezer. but do I want to be continuing this when I'm 50, 60, 70, 80, you know, assuming I live that long? And while I say no, at the same time, I'm like, I'm not ready to stop being a fan. I still love Transformers. I love it so much. And I still have that. I see a new figure and I'm like, ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that. My pocket says, no, you can't have that. You can't have that. You can't have that. No, you can't have that either. But,
I was thinking when you were talking about that, and I think you're right. Yeah, you know, everyone's got their reasons if they want to quit or if they just want to, you know, stop buying and just pay attention to the fandom. And you can still contribute and be a part of the fandom even though you're not buying the toys. But then again, I did want to, and this is a wonderful segue, I was thinking about those that were in their 60s and 70s that still collected, and I was going to say, hey, Don, go ahead. Let's see your side of this.
And you say that right after the 60s and 70s.
Absolutely.
Hey, bell bottoms were awesome at one time. Yeah.
So was my members only jacket and my parachute pants.
Shut up, I hate those too.
Being the oldest one of the group and having been there only by 5 years now, I'll be 45 in June. This has been weighing on my mind a lot in the past year for various reasons, not least of which my father passed away in 2008 and my mother passed away in 2012. I'm an only child. So I lack the family that a lot of people have to draw upon. I don't currently have anyone else in my life, no wife, no girlfriend. So I don't have like the luxury Duran has of a girlfriend that understands his collection and his hobby. I have no kids. Basically, it's me and Massey. I had an aunt who is a godsend these last 2 years, but she has a life of her own. She has my cousins as her kids who have families of their own. So I really have no one that I can turn to and say, take care of this for me, because it would be an absolutely, as it stands now, an insurmountable burden to anyone in my life. I have people that I know that would try. Some of my friends like Paladin and some of them have always said, if I need help selling the collection, let them know. But I have got to face the reality. That's why this is a very difficult subject for me, because I'm alone. I don't have the support group a lot of you have. I don't have the people locally that I can draw upon. I have all of you, but that's like asking the drowning man next to him, hey, can you help me reach shore? We're all in the same boat together, and we can only do so much being internet friends to help out. So, yeah, it's difficult for me to face this, and I'm trying to, but I'm still buying things. I just shipped my pile from Big Bad Toy Store for Defensor, and I got Quicklinger and Breakneck. You know, I'm still buying things. I have pre-orders for Tracks and Road Rage. You know, because the stuff we're getting now is stuff I never imagined I would see when I started collecting in 84. I just never thought, you know, I never thought I would have a Psykill homage in a Masterpiece Kill.
That toy's awesome, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I never thought I would have, you know, a, if you can see, Kronos. I have a very accurate, cartoon accurate G1 Skyfire, which I never thought I would have. So it's coming down to me basically saying I have got to sell more than I'm buying. Obviously, it's the same thing with budgeting. You spend less than you make, but it's very difficult when you have figures like Warbitron come out, and it's like the pinnacle of what you've been wanting in a Bruticus figure for 20 years. Combine Wars, you know, notwithstanding, but that's a whole different level of product. So my thoughts are basically this. I am trying to pull my life together enough, because you don't realize how much this hobby consumes you until that's all you have left. Like, when Mom passed away and Massey just knocked over Warbitron, thank you, Massey, for scaring me half to death.
Massey attacked for the episode.
Massey. Oh, not technically. But, so yeah, I've learned that when Mom passed away, I wasn't down there all the time. I wasn't with her all the time. But a lot of my life revolved around being around her. And now I have all this time, and I realized I've got too much crap. I'm still buying it because the stuff is $2. The stuff is too awesome. So.
Well, and you're a fan. I mean, that's what fans.
Yeah,
do.
I'm a fan. But I also have to say, if I died tomorrow, my aunt can't handle this stuff. My cousins can't handle this stuff. My internet friends can't handle this stuff. It's too much. So I'm going to have to basically start selling my stuff off in droves. But like everybody, I've got Armada. I don't know why I did that. Energon. I really don't know why I did that. Cybertron. I've got Beast Machines. Stuff that's just, it's like ball cards. If you have really old ball cards or really new ball cards, you can move them pretty well. But there's that gap in like 89 to 99 where it ain't worth nothing.
You could say the same thing about Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. You know, all the Power of the Force stuff. Half-circle Boba Fett ain't going to bring you nothing in it anymore.
Now, see, the funny part is I know exactly what you're talking about, and everyone else here is going,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah, so.
You're right. There's that little gap, and it's not worth anything.
Right. So, I'm not trying to depress anybody. I'm just saying not everybody is in the same shoes as everybody else, obviously. But for those of us that are alone, who don't have the family, who don't have the wife, who don't have the girlfriend, who don't have local people in the fandom to help, we have our own set of problems.
And you know, that's something, Don, that, you know, I that's the whole reason why we are having this episode here tonight. Exactly. Because it's something that either you thought of and then like, oh, I don't want to think about that, and then put it on the back burner because, well, That's a long time down the road. I don't want to think about that right now. It's too depressing.
That's the way I was because Mom was alive and I had everything going on. in and around that part of my life after Dad died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my life is mine. There's no, I have no mom, no dad anymore. And it's like, I want to be able to get to a, my goal is to get to a point where I have maybe three standard bookcases, the kind you can buy at Walmart. And everything that I'm keeping for the rest of my life is in those three bookcases. And everything else.
Right here. It's like,
yeah. Yeah,
right here. Yeah.
I want everything that I'm keeping, my writer stuff, my Gundam stuff, my visionaries, my mask, my Transformers. I want to scale it down to the point where everything fits in three or four bookcases and everything else is gone. But getting me to that point is going to be a god awful nightmare. But I've got to
do it. Can I come in at this point?
Yeah, yes, sir.
No. I don't know if this applies to you, and it may not, but everyone I spoke to who contributed to this article, the first question they asked themselves when they were strategizing was, who is going to be the beneficiary? So some people had family members. They had obvious next of kin who were going to be the beneficiary, and there were some who didn't, and then they had to make a decision whether they were going to cash in on the value of what they had while they were alive, or whether they were going to take the value of that and just forget about it and keep it till the day they died, and then they would give it away to charity, or they would give it to children's organizations, or they would donate it to someone en masse so other collectors could just have their stuff. And once you figure out who you want the beneficiary to be, then you can start to think about what you do in the first year. What do you do in the next 5 years? What do you do in the next 10 years? But until you know who is going to benefit from what I have collected, I think you're going to be lost. You need to make... And if you've decided that you want three bookcases and that's your goal, and you're happy with that, that you've enjoyed the items for as long as you've had them, there are some things that no longer bring you satisfaction because you don't see them, because you don't interact with them, and now there's a better version that means that that's now obsolete, despite any nostalgia or feelings you have for it. Especially those lines you mentioned that are a real slog to sell. Those are convention bins, you know. Those are things that you sell one after another. Those are the things that you put into small 2-3-figure lots. But it's all about knowing where you want to end up. And if you already know where you want to end up, you make a year-by-year plan, I guess.
Yeah. It's just, you know, everyone has different goals. Everyone has different resources. It's just for some of us, it's going to be a little harder than others.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, okay. Absolutely, because everyone's story is different.
Well,
everyone's story, everyone's collection, everything, it's different. And
everyone's reason for
everyone
collecting.
Everyone knows that. Absolutely, everything. I mean, we're all not the same. Does that mean that when my time comes and this happens to shift, mine's going to be harder than yours? No. Just means that this particular situation is going to deal with different things than your particular situation. I will say one thing, and it was one thing I was thinking of when you said that also, is that you were talking about internet friends. And basically, I'm assuming it's because that the friends that you have locally probably don't know it as much about Transformers or whatever, but you need to build upon those relationships, and I'm sure you have that one person that you would trust. And that's, unfortunately, that's the person that's probably going to bestow your collection.
Right. But I want to make sure, because he's about eight years, well, I'd say 6 years younger than me. So it's really not a big difference in our ages. But he's the only one I would, like you said, I could trust with that. But I don't want to give him what?
You don't want to give him what?
No. I'm being yelled at by the boss. No, I don't want to give him this mountain of plastic. I want to give him, look, I'm dead. I got these three bookcases. I got prices on them. You sell them. You keep the money. Just don't lose anything. Because I don't want to lose money. Even if I'm dead, I don't want to lose money.
Well,
so
what? Once again, and I'll go back to this. I'll go back to my, do I put a price of what I paid for it on it? if you really are asking someone to do this for you, okay, you are putting a tremendous chore and responsibility on them. In my opinion doesn't mean dirt except to anyone but myself, I would not want to burden them with also the responsibility of saying, hey, I paid $50 for this damn thing. You better get more than that.
It's a performance clause, isn't it?
That's true.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But that's just me.
Yeah, but I'm saying. Look at
it, and I actually have a closing that I'm going to go with, but I'm not going to do that now. Okay. Don, was there anything else you had on it?
No, just it's going to be a long road getting from here to there. To paraphrase the opening interview.
Enterprise.
That's a good song right there.
Yeah, well, I was paraphrasing it. Yeah, the theme from Enterprise.
I wasn't the only one that thought that. I am not a nerd. Wait a minute.
That's the worst part, is I got it, and I'm ashamed to say I got it. But go ahead.
So it's just, I'm going to have to do it. It's got to be done. I'm going to have to do it. And
buckling down is the hardest part, honestly. It really is.
I'm just going to have to say, I love it. It's time to go.
Well, just because you sell a toy doesn't mean that you dislike it, or not even that you don't want it anymore. It's just that you don't need it anymore.
Yeah. I shouldn't have bought Orbitron. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. No, that thing's beautiful.
I'll take it. I'll take it from you if you don't want it.
I'm not dead yet.
This is not a figure review day, all right? But yes, that thing is awesome. Don, it's everything we thought it was going to be and more. I mean, yes, everyone's got these little quirks or whatever, but if you look at that thing as a whole, it's awesome. I'm done.
Yes.
Enough with that. Okay.
So real quick, is nobody else going to deal with the fact that we're discussing death and yet we just referenced a series famous for a phrase of live long and prosper?
Interesting.
See, I don't look at it that way because that was on Enterprise and they never talked about that.
Well,
the franchise as a whole.
That, I don't want to hear it.
Jim, tell us your thoughts and plans on this.
Well, honestly, this isn't really a topic that I've given really much thought to until.
That's because you're the youngest.
Well, yeah.
Shut up.
I'm not really giving that much thought to until recently when Maz wrote that article, and I saw that and it got me thinking. You know, I don't really have a set plan for that. You know, were something to happen to me, and it kind of hit me pretty hard because I've got some health concerns myself. I'm not quite 32, and I've already got 20% of each kidney with scarring from kidney disease. I'm in the early stages of that. Hypertension, cholesterol issues, history of diabetes and heart disease, and everything else.
Diabetes.
I'll probably croak by the time I'm 50 if I make it that far.
Let's have a bright outlook here.
Right.
Well, the bright outlook is that Don's already made it that far.
Well, right. You know, and he's right, though. It a lot of times it takes a major life event that jars or spurns us to even consider this. Like I said earlier in the show, 2 years ago, I nearly died in a semi accident, and I hate to keep bringing that up because it was probably one of the darkest times in my life. But as a collector, it awakens so much. Realization and thought in my head about this hobby. And one of those was, I had a lot of time to sit and look at my collection. And I got to thinking, I mean, literally within a few days after that, and I was sitting there, I was battered and bruised in a lounge chair, and I was looking around at all my collection. And I'm like, what would have happened if I died? What would have happened to all this stuff? It was a realization to me. It's like, what is going to happen to this stuff? I hadn't even thought of it. And, it takes major life events like that sometimes for us to get to understand what what we need to do, or that we even need to do it. Like I said, also at the top of the show, many collectors don't even consider it, or have never considered it.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, it's doubtful if my mom, because my mom was actually in very good health when she passed away from a heart attack. She had just left hospital with some surgery, but she was fine. I mean, everything that for a lady of her age, having gone through what she went through with the surgery, she was in great shape, and then she just had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So if she hadn't passed away, I probably wouldn't. I would still be doing what I was doing two, three years ago, buying what I wanted and not caring because I was having the time of my life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it takes that event like I'm alone, or endurance case, you know, what would happen if the worst had happened. So it's unfortunately with the human race, it sometimes takes us getting kicked upside the head to say, hey, this is important. Mm-hmm. Deal with it.
Yeah, one of the most important things is knowing exactly why you collect and what your collection means to you on every level. You've got to know, you've got to be self-aware enough to understand why you buy certain things, why you keep certain things, and that's the only way to know the best way of getting rid of it.
Hmm. That's something else we covered a few shows ago was why we collect what we do, and one of the biggest draws I think was. Not just childhood, you know, standard childhood nostalgia of, you know, something you watched as a kid, but also a lot of times a lot of people will have received certain figures from, you know, friends, loved ones, different relatives on holidays, and they will associate those memories of those precious individuals with those specific toys. I know one that I was really extremely close to when I was, you know, 4 or 5 was my great grandmother, and in 89 my family had a house fire. The entire house decided to visit the basement, and we had nothing. We had our clothes, we had the cat, and that's about it. I think maybe the TV for some reason, but yeah, we had nothing, and. You know, aside from the necessities that, you know, friends and family helped us to regain, you know, clothes and food and things, my great-grandmother looked at my brother and I and saw that we were just kind of sitting around with nothing to do. We had just gone through all this, and we had nothing to really occupy our minds. So at the time, there was a Kmart in our small town Paris, Illinois, and a hardware store that also sold Transformers that were a couple years older because I guess they moved toys slower than Kmart did. But I ended up with Horrible and Scoop, and those are two figures that I've always closely associated with her because of that and because of those experiences and that event that happened back then. And those have always held a special place because of that, because they remind me of her and, you know, a lot of the things that we shared together. You know, at times I'd visit her her house, you know, help her with the garden, you know, and it kind of makes you stop and think, you know, am I forming similar memories for those close to me, for those maybe even younger than me? Like right now, my older brother who went through those experiences with me, he's actually a father of four. I've got three nephews and a niece. And since I've been considering this topic as of recent, I've considered possibly, you know, things I may try to see about passing down to them in the event I don't have children. Because I don't have any yet, and if something were to happen, you know, that may never occur. You know, so I got to take that into consideration. You know, if so, what items, what are they worth? How you know, do I determine what would be best to do that with? Do I give them the entire collection, have them split it four ways? I mean, there's so much to consider. Even with the idea of the index cards that was brought up earlier, you know, you can write down information, but like was said earlier, there's no real picture reference on those index cards for that, and you can write an individual's name. You know, someone to contact for information. Like if I were to put on the index cards, you know, Megamus. You know, what if Brett croaked tomorrow and I croak a week later? like, okay, well, now who do we contact about my toys?
Yeah, but we know that's not going to happen.
Well, sure, just hypothetical. But, you know, and that's why I'm glad that we as a fandom have come together to try to log and chronicle all this information about these toys over the years, all this documented. Take, for example, like stepping outside the Transformers fandom for a moment, the Creo Wiki, or even the TF Wiki, there's G.I. Joe Wiki. I mean, there's all these resources for different toy collectors that have had, like, the full articles, the information about the toys when they were released, you know, if there was a repaint. There's also, like, TFU.info. I mean, there's all sorts of online resources that have been made available. But I think, you know, that things like that need to be relayed to those who would be responsible for parting out a collection or inheriting a collection as well, so they would know where to go to if an individual is not available for that information.
Well, let me say one thing. There is one little thing that I didn't mention. I don't know. I kind of alluded to it, but not. Sure. Most of my collection, the stuff that I've been working on is boxed. Hmm. And what I mean by that is, like this, it's boxed, okay? Mm-hmm. And this happens to be one that I haven't done yet. But basically what would happen is that in this case on the back, this index card would be slipped in. But as you can see right now, this is the funny part. This one's actually missing an instruction booklet. And how do I know? I wrote it on the bottom in a little card. Let's see if I can see it. There it is. The booklet is missing. So this is my process. But I plan on having every card not sitting in a stack. It's going to be with the actual toy. My point being is that anyone who wants to start piecing out my collection doesn't have to know what the product is. They pick it up, they pull out the index card, and that's what it is. Now, for the loose section, I actually have an idea in mind for that, and that is that every loose figure is going to have a number attached to it somewhere on the back, on its foot, or whatever, and that number will coincide with an index card.
Like get a little dot or something other, write the number on.
They're cheap little stickers, and you just stick them on the back in a DTOF or display case. You're not going to see it. They pull it out, they look at it, because the other thing is, and I don't know if anyone else does this, but there's some figures that when you display them, you don't display all their accessories, combiners.
That's true.
All that stuff's got to be documented. You know, Bruticus is number, pick a number, 13. There's a 13 on his back. You go through the list, there's a 13. On the 13, it says accessories. You go to the accessories drawer, there's a baggie that says 13. You put them all together. It's very intricate. It's very detailed. It's very time-consuming. But I still believe it's – until someone can come up and tell me a better way of doing it, I think it's the best way of doing it. But it is very, very time-consuming.
It is. Chad, are you able to
– I used to – yeah, I'm here. I just – I have to mute off in order to not get any background noise. But I actually did a similar thing back when my collection was, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 pieces. I actually used an Excel spreadsheet in order to document mine, and I actually had photos of each figure clipped to the Excel spreadsheet, and it would also say, you know, what the figure was, what year it came out. You know, basically all the information that you could possibly give for that figure.
Exactly. It's something that's time consuming, but I think in the long run, you're putting, as I said before, you're putting this big task on someone. Anything you can do to lighten the load, I think is your responsibility. I really do. You know, yeah. I'm not trying to be mean about it, but I think if you're giving someone the responsibility of dealing with this, the least you can do is make it as easy as possible.
Well, I think that's a good segue into our final segment of this show is some tips and ideas of what to do with this. Now, a lot of people, there was actually some comments that I read on some Facebook groups about this earlier this week is whenever the topic was mentioned. And it seemed like one person read, I don't give a damn what happens to my collection after I'm dead. I'll be dead. And I'm like, that's actually
common response.
To me, it's so irresponsible with what you're doing in your life. You know, I mean, you got to take a little responsibility as much as some people shy away from responsibility. I mean, I've been tied in life to two people already in my life that had no sense of responsibility. And it's so frustrating whenever somebody does not want to pick up the reins and do something that they need to do. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, you know, sometimes it takes a life event or a physical situation, like health concerns or something other to jar people into this realization. Well, if you're listening to this episode, I'm hoping that we can spare you either of those and that we can urge you to take care of your collection. And most of all, most importantly of all, take care of your loved ones, because that is what is most important here. And that is the overlying subject of what we're talking about right now, because if you take the collector out of the equation, which is what we're talking about, the death of the collector, what are you left with? You're left with the toys, and you're left with the people that have to deal with the toys. And
don't forget that these people have been dealing with your collection your whole life when you were alive already. Mm-hmm. So you've already decided to affect their lives in a significant way based on the size of your collection in your life. It is absolutely your responsibility to then, in a way, make up for it. I mean, okay, lots of people are very accepting of what we do, but that could just be a reflection of how much they love us. It may not be a true reflection of how they feel about how you've changed family life or how you've changed the way you coexist. So that has to come into it. I think it is very selfish to think, I've had my collection, I've enjoyed it. When I'm gone, it's not my problem anymore. Even if you don't live with someone, even if someone has to come from somewhere else to deal with it.
Exactly. So what are some ideas that we have for dealing with that? I mean, you know, Brett has got the index cards, which is an excellent idea. Anybody else have any ideas that of things that are important to consider in this
winding down?
I got booted just a minute ago. I apologize. I was going to say that now that my collection has gotten smaller, because I have to go here pretty quick, but now that my collection's gotten smaller, that Excel spreadsheet has shortened, and all of those characters or those toys that I have now are dedicated to people in that Excel spreadsheet. So now I've got it labeled to where, you know, most of them are going to go to my kids, and there's a couple. One will go back to Duran because he bought it for me. If I pass away before he does. And then there's a couple others that will go to other people. But other than that, my collection will be split between my children unless they deem otherwise as they get older.
That is important to consider. I mean, that is a good thing to think of, is specific people you want specific figures to go to. Like I said about mine, you know, I really don't care what goes to whom. But with the exception of my weird wolf, I want the person who is closest to me at that point in my life, I want that person to have that particular figure, because out of all my collection, even though it's not the nicest figure, it's not the most expensive figure, it is by no means the most important figure in my collection. But to me, that is the character I love, and that and since I've been an adult collector online, I have called myself Weird Wolf. Mm-hmm. And that is my online persona. It's not me, but I mean, it is like an avatar of me as a collector, and how better fitting to remember me by having like a mini plastic statue of Weird Wolf that you could look at and remind yourself of me. Whether, you know, she wants to, you know, put it in a little glass case and never touch it, or just put it in a box and put it in a closet somewhere, that's up to her. But I want her to have it, you know. And Maz, do you have any tips in anything specific?
I don't know how popular this will be with people who listen, but if you imagine an aircraft coming into land, at some point you've got to start decelerating. So if everything goes by its natural course, and you need to start cutting down so that you're minimizing the impact. I mean, one of the things that I thought about is I'm 35 years old. How long have I been collecting? What have I managed to buy and amass in that time? What have I managed to do? And how many more years am I going to collect? So realistically, what could I achieve in that time? So what is my goal for my collection? Is it just to have it around me? Is it just to constantly be bringing new things in, or is it because I wanted to achieve something? So if I would want to analyze how much time I need to spend with the rest of my collection for the rest of my life. And again, it comes down to knowing what your collection means to you and why you do it. So that if you can see that you're advancing in years, you slowly start to, you know, sell off certain parts of your collection to start minimizing it. So I really do think all of us need to be more collapsing the universe instead of trying to, mm-hmm. you know, increase it exponentially and infinitely. I really do think people need to start.
I can kind of appreciate your analogy there, being that I work at the Indianapolis airport there. I thought that was a pretty good analogy. One thing that comes to my mind, though, as far as that is, you know, how many of us as collectors have just indulged in the hobby solo? Alone, it's just us and the mythos, the toys, the cartoons, whatever, you know. And at the same time, how many of us have brought in our friends, family, and loved ones to enjoy the hobby with us? Maybe not to the extent that we do, maybe nowhere close. But you know, if say you're watching Netflix and want to watch Transformers Prime or something, and you know, you want your significant other, your nephew, your daughter, whatever, to come in and watch a couple episodes with you, you know, if something were to happen later on, you know, they might know who Bulkhead is. They might know who, you know, Knockout is, you know, and they might recognize the toy from that, you know. Or you know, if you got young kids or something, you know, get down on the floor, play with them, you know, share in those experiences and bring those loved ones in to spend time with you while you're here. That way they can also come to even in some capacity, some similar appreciation for the same hobby, because that might help them as well later on down the road when something does inevitably happen.
Absolutely. Tobias, you have any tips or ideas of how to handle this?
No, I was just thinking about that, but I think when I got on this show today, I think it's a really interesting topic, but it touches on so many levels because it messes with your brain a lot when we talk about it, because I thought that I had things secured and whatever. But
well, it's honestly something none of us really want to think about.
Yeah,
it is. It's hell if you stop and think about it, but it's necessary.
And I think the aspect that Don brings up, being alone, it was not that long ago that I was alone myself. And, wow. Yeah, I have to think about that. I don't really have any of the tips. But I think we got a great input with the talk here today. And some great tips as well.
Absolutely. How about you, Don? Do you have any tips of anything that you have that you want to implement in your plan specifically?
Travel back in time and tell my past self to not buy the Armada and Energon stuff.
No. No, tell yourself to buy it for me.
I think you.
Wow.
And these are things.
But really, it's I don't know. I'm still trying to figure this out as I go. If there's any formula to find out, we'll all stumble upon our own kind of formula for success. I just feel like if I just make progress that I feel like I'm making visible, sustainable progress, I'll be happy. But again, it's just going to see how it goes. It's a crapshoot.
Well, it's like what Brett said earlier. Everybody's collection is different, and how you're going to handle it is different. So that's why, I'm asking for tips or ideas of what you could do with your collection that might help or aid people who are listening or watching this show in their decisions of what they need to do. Because everybody's situation is different. They may be alone. They may be a part of a group that, I know some collectors that their collection isn't necessarily their collection. It's they kind of pool, it's like, they group together whenever they collect.
I'd probably say one thing you could do as a possible, if you're going to still be collecting for a while, unless there's a mold that you love, like Fire Convoy is one of my favorite molds. And I have all the versions of him that's been made to date, other than Masterpiece, which we all know is in the works. But if there's a certain mold you like, that's fine. But maybe don't buy every repaint of that mold. Again, because there's so many. Now, with Combiner Wars coming out, and I'm saying that, it's going to be so difficult. But I'm just, like, for example, Reveal the Shield Jazz. That's a lot of people's a mold they really love. But how many times have we had that mold used already in so many various?
Done to death.
It basically, it's your secret mold again, all over again. So maybe don't buy all the repaints if you can help it. Or if you get a mold that it's that mold, but it's better than what it's a better representation, maybe sell the earlier one. Again, that it's just something off the top of my head, but since there's so many repaints in this fandom, that might help cut down some of it.
Very good idea, I think. I spent my whole time in collecting doing repaints of the same figure to the point where I've never owned a Trypticon or I've never owned a Fort Max. I've never owned a Ram Horn or something like that. But when I found something I liked, I bought every version of it humanly possible.
There wasn't that many Fortress Maximus versions to buy, so at least there was that.
Well, that's G1 Mirage copyright variants. Yeah, there's a few.
Wow.
Yeah, that's.
I didn't even realize there was that many. Well, was it your article, Maz, about the Rotor Storm? How you piece one together? I read that one, and I'm like, that was an adventure. I absolutely love that.
Well, if I want something that crazy, I'm going to buy me a base Terra drone or a Defiant and just try to piece it together for the next 20 years.
My idea of how to deal with it is, like I said, I had a collection of over 2,500 figures, and that was as up until about 2006, 2007. And I got to looking around. I mean, whenever I was having guests come to my home, and they were saying things like, it looks like a Toys R Us exploded in here. So where's your store located at? Is this your store? Things like that. It really got me to thinking, I mean, it's like and then I had totes and totes and totes full of figures that I haven't touched in, that I hadn't touched in years. I had Beast Machines figures that were loose and sealed that were in bags and totes stacked that I hadn't touched in 2006. I had not touched them in 5 years. You know, so
I've got a perfect example. I was looking at the upcoming Marvel Legends wave that has the Build-A-Figure Hulkbuster in it.
Mm-hmm.
I was also looking at, for about 2 seconds, the Hot Toys version. Then I stopped being stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm going through the totes the other day, trying to find a couple of figures. I have the Marvel Legends Hulkbuster from Toy Biz. I forgot I even had it. Open the tote, and there it is. And here I am looking at the current Marvel Legends version.
That's like, why do I even need it? Yeah.
Exactly. That's when you realize when you have toys that you don't even remember buying, that's something that really just wakes you up.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think we could actually have a whole other episode on that because that's happened so many times with me.
Yeah. I'm not alone then.
Yes.
That you know, that should be a future episode.
But wait a minute. I did have one question for Maz. All right. I was curious when you wrote the article, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm actually being honest with this. What were you thinking? And after you got the response you got, what do you think now about that article?
About the article itself or about my decision on what I would do?
No, about the article, because the article has inspired a lot of things. So when you wrote it, what were you thinking would happen? And afterwards, what did happen and what was your response to that?
Before I wrote it, I thought this should be something that everybody has an answer to. So, I mean, the idea is because I write for TF Source, I can't just indulge myself in what I want to write about it. It has to be something that attracts a bit of traffic and a bit of discussion on multiple platforms. I thought this is going to be something that everyone's got an opinion on, and it will be a different opinion. So I thought I'd get a nice variety of opinions. I did think I'd get a few, because there's certain places where I post the articles, you get responses where people will just say, oh, this is too depressing, or why can't, you know, they'll make snarky comments and the thread will just descend into comments to do nothing with the article. And then what actually ended up happening was it's become the single most read and shared article I've written out of all of them. The only thing that has done better.
Well, but do you believe that it's the most controversial article that you've written?
I don't think it's controversial because it doesn't have an opinion. The article doesn't have an opinion. The fact that it's done so well is because everyone has their own.
Well, what I mean by that is how it's taken. I mean, you have some people that take it seriously and look at what you're saying, and then there's others that snide it off saying it's too depressing or I don't think about that or whatever. That's what I mean by controversial. You're going to have you're going to have a difference of opinion on how to take the article.
Yeah, I think then I'm surprised at how many people took it seriously. I'm surprised at how many people actually took the time to think about their own situation. Yeah, I ended up getting very few remarks that made me roll my eyes. Everyone had something to say, and I believed what everyone said for the most part. And that was a surprise.
I almost think of it as kind of a wake-up call for a lot of collectors, both Transformers and not, you know, just collectors in general. You know, because, I mean, no matter what you collect, you know, a lot of people have the same habits and do a lot of the same things with their collections.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised to hear that so many people hadn't thought about it. I think maybe it's just because of the people I know. I knew that they had all thought about it. And maybe it's because they've all become parents recently. I became a parent recently. It's just closer to the front of my mind. But I was surprised to see so many people found it a wake-up call.
And it was a very needed one. I mean, you got things that you need to do, in my opinion, is downsize. Make your collection manageable for the people that are going to deal with it. And your idea of downsizing may be different than mine. Mine, I don't want to get my figure. You know, I've got 4 DTOFs. I probably want to get one or two more. And whatever fits in those, is my collection. If it does not fit, then I don't need it. And number two is who's going to deal with it? Know who you want to deal with it. And also, I think most importantly is, well, I lost my train of thought. most importantly, if you're going to leave it to someone, make sure they know your plan too. I think that's what I was getting to, because it's good to have a plan and you know your plan, but if you know your plan and you're dead and nobody else knows that plan, then what good is the plan?
They've also got to agree to it, which is very important.
Exactly. Right.
They've also got to agree to the plan and be willing to be a part of it. Well, because if they don't, then you have to make an alternative arrangement.
That goes along a little bit with what I was saying is, you know, help to ease the burden a little bit by bringing them into it with you and spend time with you while you're here. That will help, I honestly think.
Well,
that may have made them want me dead more, I think.
that definitely helps in the fact that they're not going to look at it just as a last, your last wish. They're going to see what it meant to you because they've interacted with you while you're interacting with your collection, and they're going to see what it means to you. So that definitely will help, for lack of a better word, the enthusiasm, their willingness to help. But one thing I was going to add to when Maz, you talked about, there were some people that didn't take it seriously, and there was this, that, you know, but controversy, difference of opinions. And I'll give you a perfect example. Honestly, what Duran said is correct about downsizing your collection, but I personally, I disagree with it.
Well, yeah, that's why I said everybody has their idea.
I'm not liking what you're saying. What I'm saying is the reason I disagree with it is because I look at Don. He's still here.
Yeah.
Oh, you're only half off the screen. You're half the screen, so I didn't know. I was going to talk about you behind your back. Doesn't matter to me. What you don't know what you've done is you've also almost set yourself up for a legacy, and I use that word in every sense of the mean. I have this amassed collection. Don, your collection is bigger than mine. You have this amassed collection. You've dedicated your life to this. It means something. It says something about you. And yes, that's going to be a big burden upon someone, but someone has to realize that whether you want it to be or not, that's a legacy. That says something about you. And I don't know, unless your idea is to minimize it, take that money, give the money, and it's all about the money or it's all about this. But if your purpose was to, my purpose was to get everything G1, and I have a complete box G1 collection, and I die, and that's a complete box G1 collection, that's a legacy, be it maybe a geeky legacy, or you might be the weird uncle that has the toys, whatever. It's still a legacy, and I don't think that should be squandered. You see what I'm saying? I think the next generation needs to look upon that and say, hey, this is something he accomplished.
Yeah. But the problem is, though, with that, I have no family that can maintain to use the word legacy, I have no one to maintain it.
It doesn't have to be a family member.
But I mean, you know,
a few people talked about donating it to a museum. They talked about a local museum that would take their collection and have it on display.
I've heard of that before too. I was hoping someone would bring that up. Okay. Absolutely.
So that's sad. Consider that. I was just looking at it from the standpoint of when I kick the bucket, whatever I have left, toy wise, I want it to be just the cream of the crop that would be easy to sell, easy to get, you know, to donate or whatever adaptations I make to my will at the time. Well, before the time, I should say, of course. You know,
something like this?
Mine is about 40 miles away right now.
As long as it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah. I can go get it right now if I wanted, but it. But
longest bathroom break ever.
Yes. You know, these are things that I hope we've opened the eyes of a lot of collectors, and I hope a lot of collectors that hadn't wanted to consider this, I hope that they took the time to listen or watch this episode, because it's so important. I can't stress enough to take care of this and get this taken care of, whether it be in writing or verbal form. You know, whatever you feel that you need to do, you should do it to deal with your collection after you die. I mean, it's everybody is going to be touched with death at one point or another. You know, I've known collectors that have come and gone, and what happened to their collection after they passed is it varies, and I just don't want a burden. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm concerned with, is I don't want a burden on those that I care about after I go. And if you've got a large collection, it can tend to be a burden. Even if that you care and you're earnestly trying, you know, that burden may turn into, like, you know, like Brett was saying, you know, it's your legacy, but at the same time, you want a negative connotation with those that you love, because I'm still having to deal with this, you know, however many years later, you know, 5-10 years down the road, I still got a box of them sitting over here. And every time I look at that box, I think of that person, you know, and is that thought going to be positive or negative? You know, I don't want my toys to be a negative impact on those that after I passed. And I think that's important as well. Anybody have any closing thoughts? Any comments?
You know, the only thing I wanted to end with, and I think we all can agree upon this, no matter what you plan on doing, that's the simplest term, plan. Think about the future. Plan ahead, and then you're not going to hit someone up with something just out of the blue. Have a plan. Put a plan in place. If it's the index cards, great. If it's just doing a spreadsheet, great. Even if it's just letting someone know, hey, this is what I need you to take care of when I'm gone, it's still a plan.
Make sure they're cool with it. I mean, unlike what Maz said, you know, oh, yeah, by the way, you're in my will.
Right. But you know, twice. You don't want to do that. Yeah. You don't want to do that. But I think the worst would be not doing anything at all. And then whoever's legally responsible gets, you know, quote unquote, stuck with this and has no idea.
Yeah, see that
something.
That is my biggest fear, is something happens to me, and my 77-year-old aunt walks in my apartment and sees my collections. She will not. And my aunt taught chemistry and physics for 35 years. She ain't dumb. She is a very smart woman. But in this world, she wouldn't know where to begin. And the thought of me dumping that on her, even as unintentional as it would be, makes me like, no. And during, I'm going to cuss here, okay? I can't be that big of an asshole.
Right, but what I'm saying,
I can't be that person. I don't want to be that.
No matter how minuscule you make your plan, you're going to have something. Even if it's, hey, pawn it off on Joe. That's my plan. It, you know what I'm saying? I mean, at least have something, anything. Yeah. That's just my thought on it.
Absolutely. Well, Tobias, you or Jim have anything?
No, like I said before, I have to think about this. It was a really good topic and made me think a lot. And I think a lot of our listeners and viewers also a lot of stuff to think about their collections.
How about you, Matt? Any closing thoughts on this topic?
I think Brett said it perfectly. Plan. Think about it, because not thinking about it is not just going to affect you. It's going to affect other people. And if it is going to be a legacy, then you want to make sure it's remembered properly and you're remembered properly. And it's something that you have some control over. Have some control over it is what I would say.
Yeah, sticking your finger in your ear and going la 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 doesn't do any good.
Either that or I don't like this topic. It's like, you know, I'm sorry, that's a cop-out. That is an absolute cop-out. If you don't like this topic and you avoid this topic and you avoid this episode or avoid the article, shame on you, really. I urge anyone who is watching or listening to this episode, whether you're a Transformer collector, G.I. Joe collector, mass collector, whatever you collect, if you're a collector, this episode of TFYLP is relevant to you. And I urge you, I beg you, share this episode so that those who are thinking about this topic.
Gone.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's funny because while you were saying that, I was thinking about a dentist. You know? I swear to God, I was thinking about a dentist. You can procrastinate and think about it, and I don't want to go to the dentist. I don't want to get the dentist. It's not going to make it better, you know. It's just not. You know, you got to do it sometime. No one likes to go, but you got to do it. Mm-hmm. So this is a topic that you don't want to. You know, I don't want to do that, but eventually
unless you have a will or something legal drawn up. It costs you nothing but your time. Mm-hmm.
Time is precious. Don't waste it. Yeah. Carpe diem.
Hey, Doran, I've got something completely not even on topic, but our listeners.
Go right ahead.
Hotspot, in stock, Hasbro Toy Shop, right now.
Wow.
$24.99.
$24.99. I picked up my Quickslinger right before Amazon sold out this morning.
And there is a promotional code Memorial15, 15% all orders and free shipping at 50.
Wow.
So if anyone wants a hotspot, he's in stock now at Hasbro's Wood Shop.
Nice. Well, Maz, I want to thank you for joining us, and thank you for writing that really thought-provoking article. I mean, it spurned this episode, and I hope it spurned a lot of people to think about this.
It's been a real pleasure. I love it. You have to invite me back. It's good fun.
You're welcome back anytime. Guys, any of you all have anything to say right before we log off?
With great amounts of plastic come great responsibility.
So eloquently put. You know, did you come up with that yourself?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I think I heard just it from a man. the man.
The man. All right, guys. For Megamus, Ronnie Prime, Dr. Arkaville, Headmaster Don, and the Maz, I am Weird Wolf. We will see you next time on Transformers for your listening pleasure. And join us next week at our regularly scheduled time at 9 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel. And for those of you who are listening on the downloadable audio-only versions on iTunes or anything, check us out on our YouTube channel. So there's things that you might see that you miss in the audio-only version. So I urge that. Follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Check us out on Facebook and TFTalk.net. See you next time on TFYLP.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.